Let's bow our heads again for prayer. Lord, we come in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that man who's sitting at your right hand, who understands us because he's one of us. Father, we say thank you. It's an awesome privilege that we get to look up into you and call you our Daddy, God. Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. Each of us in our personal walk with you, Lord, I need you. We need you, Lord. More than we know, we need you, God. Lord, in our husband and wife relationships, we need you, Lord. Lord, in dealing with our children, our families, Lord, we need you. We ask again, Father, that you will come by your Holy Spirit and minister to my heart and to each of our hearts, Lord. Shine your light in our darkness. Lord, encourage us where we're discouraged, where the arms of our faith are hanging down and our faith knees are getting weak, Lord. Would you strengthen us, Lord? Lord, if there are bondages from Satan's lies in our lives, open our eyes, Lord. And would you help us to deal with them and let us help us to call on you that with your help, Lord, you would deal with those things and set us free, Lord, the way you want us set free, to be just who you want us to be, God. Lord, we ask this for the glory of Jesus Christ, your Son, our heavenly bridegroom who's coming back soon. Amen. All right, this afternoon's session is on biblical authority in the home. And maybe you'll wonder what this has to do with my relationship with my wife or my relationship with my husband. Just hold on. We're laying a foundation here that is very important to understand and to get some of these things correct. Understand them correctly and to practice them correctly. Where these things are not in place, there's just a lot of havoc and the glory of Christ does not shine out. The homes don't function as they should. Let me just say this and start. It's popular now in our society to bash men. I think you're aware of that. To denigrate men or tell jokes that make men look so stupid, you know, and everybody laughs, yeah. I hope you don't laugh. It's also popular in our society right now to lift up women above their God-given place. I live among Muslim people in the city where I live, and a woman, yeah, she's not a slave, but she's not in her rightful place. She's more like a piece of property or, yeah, not the friend that she ought to be. Doesn't have her right place. I think it's only Christianity that gives women their right place. But our society is now trying to lift women above their right place. And that all started back, way back. But in modern times, the women's liberation movement, around the turn of the last century, 1900, 1920, women's suffrage was passed, I think, in 1920 in the U.S. And I'm not saying that women shouldn't vote. I'm just saying that was part of a broader movement to liberate women from being under the men. Very common phrase saying in Africa right now, maybe you've heard it, maybe it's common in Canada too, I don't know. Whatever a man can do, a woman can do better. Have you heard that? That is a lie from Satan. That is a lie from Satan. There are some women who have served admirably in places that men should have been in. Margaret Thatcher. Some of you are old enough to remember Margaret Thatcher, one of the best recent prime ministers that England had. That's in my opinion. But God has a place for women and a place for men. And we're going to look at this a little bit more. But when those get messed up, it messes up a lot of things. I'm a firm believer that what we're seeing today, a generation growing up that doesn't know whether they're male or female, is a direct result of men and women being out of their places. I firmly believe that. And so this is a very important topic for us. And if we get this right, it will fix so many things. It will preserve us from so many things. And I wish our society got this. But may our homes be like lighthouses in the darkness. Amen. Giving hope to a society that has lost its anchor, lost its compass. They don't know which direction is which. So I have a paragraph here at the beginning. In fulfilling these obligations of authority over our children, the husband or father is the head. However, he will be greatly handicapped if his wife does not help him. Also, the wife will be terribly frustrated if the husband or father does not lead out. And I have the next three words underlined. Through much communication, they should be a harmonious team with dad leading out and mom right beside him to help him. Unity is so, so important. I heard a story, I know these people, where a dad was calling his teenage son to query him about something and was actually in the process of putting some punishment on him. The father didn't understand the situation exactly. He didn't understand exactly what all happened. And his wife understood the situation. Okay? So the father called the son, and he's talking seriously to his son and beginning to, I don't know what the punishment was, but a punishment on him. And mom came in the room, and she started to try to straighten out dad, because dad was not understanding this correctly. And the son said, "Mom, it's okay. I would rather you and dad were on the same page than that dad be 100% correct." Wow. Wow. There's so much power in unity. So let's talk about the purpose of authority. And the purpose is true whether it's civil authority, whether it's corporate or in a business, whether it's church authority, or whether it's in your home authority. These principles are true. So the purpose of authority, the first one I have there is the purpose is to lead or direct, to give direction. And I have some verses there in Proverbs. We'll just take time to read those. Proverbs chapter 6, 20 to 23. This is a father talking to his son. "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Here's a dad who's giving direction. He's laying out some laws to his children. Those aren't very popular words in today's society. A father inspires vision. A godly parent inspires vision. A leader in his home will establish order by organizing resources, people and things, to accomplish the goals and visions. If you have a home business, how many of you have your own business? Let me see your hands. Quite a few of you. We Anabaptists like that. Have our own business. You are already doing this in your business. If you're not, your business isn't going very well. Okay? You're already doing this. You're setting goals. You're giving direction. You're inspiring vision in your workers. Okay? You're establishing order by organizing resources, people and things. Okay, today I want you to do this. We're going to go out on the job. You crew go out to this one and do this one. And yeah, and you're just, and you have a vision. You have a goal. And you are giving good direction to accomplish those goals. Well, that needs to happen in the family also in a spiritual sense. And sometimes we don't think enough about that. And sometimes we dads feel like, wow, you know, how could I ever do that? Well, this is God's will. And if it's God's will, he's going to give you grace to do his will. Is that right? Yeah. And God said, if you lack wisdom, what do you need to do? Go to the library and get out a thick book. No. Ask. Just ask God. He won't say, oh, you stupid. He doesn't upbraid. He just gives it liberally. And that doesn't mean just enough to squeak by. He'll give it liberally. Another work of the authority is to protect. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And let's look at these verses. I really love the Proverbs. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My son, again, dad talking to his son, if thou wilt receive my words, now I have these verbs underlined, receive, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Do you know what that is? You ever see a dog just kind of snooze in there, and all at once, his ears go up. He perked up his ears. He heard something. Maybe it was the tires of your vehicle hitting the gravel in the driveway, and instantly his ears perk up, okay? That's what it means to incline your ears. You tilt your ears in that direction. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And he goes on here. We're not going to keep going. We're going to jump down to verse 12. Look what happens if you take dad's instruction to heart, verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Do y'all know what scamming is? Is that a word that you're acquainted with over here? In West Africa, they'll teach you how to do it. Scamming. It's duping people, deceiving people out of their money, okay? One of the best ways to be sharpened, to smell that something's not quite right here, is to be totally under the authority that God has put over you. It does something to sharpen your discernment. I mean, that's what he's saying here, right? Verses 1 and 2, 3, okay? If your heart is to keep your dad's commandments, what will it do? It will deliver you from the way of the evil man. And this is good for daughters too, right? From the man that speaketh froward things. What he's saying is not the truth. Jump over to verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Wow. Amen. We men need that in today's world. There are a lot of strange women in today's world. And we need this protection. So a dad's direction, godly direction, helps to protect his children. So this is part of the purpose of authorities, to protect. It includes punishing lawbreakers to reprove them. Think of your children. You have two little boys, and the one has a toy and the other one wants it, and the other one just, throws them down, takes the toy. Well, I hope you do something about that at your house. You punish the lawbreaker. And why do you punish the lawbreaker? That's against the rules in the house. You know, we're not unkind like that. We don't bully each other. So why do you punish the lawbreaker?
To correct him,
to teach him. That's not the right way. We don't do that. That's not good. So it's to reprove him. What's the other thing that happens when you punish the lawbreaker?
Protect the innocent one.
Thank you. It protects the innocent one. That little brother that just got knocked over, well, he's going to think twice before he does it the next time. And it protects. So this is very good. This includes punishing lawbreakers to reprove them, to protect the innocent, and to fulfill the purpose of the entity. In this case, your home, okay, by preventing chaos and anarchy. What happens in homes or in countries or in churches where there's no discipline?
Chaos.
It turns into chaos. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And you all probably know a few homes like that, and you're not sure who's in charge here. Is it dad? Is it mom? Is it the teenagers? You're not sure. It's just a mess. Okay. So this is part of the responsibility of authorities to protect. It includes setting and guarding boundaries. There's a clear boundary line between Canada and U.S. We're not wondering where the line is. It's established. And on this side, Canada's in charge. And on this side, America's in charge. And they're guarding their borders, their boundaries, to avoid confusion of authority. We don't wonder who's in charge here. Oh, this is Canada. Oh, this is America. How's your home? Is it clear where the boundaries are in your home? To avoid confusion of authority and to protect those who are inside from what is outside. Some people are having a problem with our president right now because he's taking a serious stand on immigration and trying to protect America's borders. Well, the drugs were just pouring over the borders. And criminals, terrorists, And it's the same thing in our homes. We have a responsibility to protect our homes from what those that are inside from what is outside. You drive down the street and you can't help but see some sights that a man shouldn't see on the street, right? But it shouldn't be like that in our homes. Home should be a place of rest. You're sitting in the doctor's office and they've got the TV going and there's some things there that, you'd rather not have to deal with. It might even be these demonic cartoons now, just chock full of magic. Well, I hope your home is different. I hope that's outside and your home is different. It's protected from that stuff out there that can damage and harm. Okay, this is all part of protecting. So let's look at God's arrangement of authority in the home. Genesis 2:18. Let's go to these scriptures. This is when God created woman for the man. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him," or a help suitable for him. So who was created first? The man. That's right. And then God saw that it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper, a help suitable for him. So a woman was created to be man's helper. That says something about authority, doesn't it? Or no?
Yes.
In my mind, that says something about authority. There's a leader and then there's a helper. Okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. We're looking at God's arrangement of authority in the home. And this isn't just a brainstorm that Moses or somebody put together. This was God. First Corinthians 11, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this in verse 3. But I would have you know... Okay, I'm going to get the pen out here, and I want you to help me. I would have you know... What's it say next? What's the next phrase?
That the head of every man...
Okay, so there's man is...
Christ.
Okay. So Christ is obviously in authority over man. Can we take that out of that phrase?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The head of man is Christ. Okay, keep reading. What's the next phrase?
The head of the woman is man.
Okay. So now we have woman here under the man. The head of the woman is the man. And again, I understand that that means that man is in authority over woman. And I don't think that just means husband and wife. Some Bibles apply it that way. And that's a specific application of the principle. But I believe it's broader than that. Let's finish. It's not quite finished yet.
And the head of Christ is God.
Okay, and the head of Christ is God. So God the Father and God the Son. And so here we have an order of headship that shows us God's design and God's plan. Now let's go to Ephesians. Chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So that's what we have here. The wife is submitting, as a woman is submitting, to the man, her husband, as unto the Lord. Well, that means it's a pretty serious matter. For the husband is the head of the wife. There it is again. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And if you go to Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we can write that underneath woman. So underneath the dad and mom, you have children. They're supposed to obey and honor their parents. So here's God's order laid out here. And I want us to see that this is not a 50-50 arrangement. It doesn't go like this. God on top, and then Christ beneath him, and then beneath Christ, man and woman side by side, and then the children under them. Is that what you got by reading these verses? Did you get that? I didn't get that. I don't think that's what those verses say or mean. Okay? This is what our society would have us believe. Okay? That it's a 50-50 arrangement. And one of the verses that they like to point to that brings a lot of confusion to people, and I want us to go there, is Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. So those who are in favor of women's liberation and whatever a man can do, a woman can do better, they like this verse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord! We're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, to really understand Scripture, you also need to look at the context. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I can take you to a verse in the Bible that says you shouldn't go out with shoes on your feet. When Jesus sent the disciples out, okay, they were to go without sandals, right? and without their wallet. So, did you all obey that scripture when you came here?
No.
Why not? Okay. Well, now, if we're talking about comfort, that's not a very good reason to disobey scripture. Otherwise, Christ would have never gone to the cross. Okay? It's context. That's right. That was a specific command given to the disciples at that time. And we know from other scriptures that the disciples did not follow those directions at all times later on. So let's look at the context of this verse that says there's neither male nor female. Look at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What's he talking about? Home authority? Church authority? Salvation. Which one is he talking about? Yes. We say sometimes the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, female or male, boss or employee, rich or poor, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. Praise the Lord. Amen, brother. But when it comes to home authority, church authority, there's some other scriptures that have some things to say about that. Okay? The verse after this is very clear too. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He's talking about salvation in these verses. And we know when it comes to salvation, it doesn't matter to God whether you're male or female. There's no preference. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let me say this. When this order is as it should be, God, Christ, man, woman, and children, and it is carried out in love, in the Spirit of Christ, there is a glory and a beauty that shines forth from this. There is. And Satan doesn't like it.
That's right.
All right, let's go to the next point. So we notice here that man is the head over the woman. And the woman is supposed to submit to the man, her head. Well, that doesn't mean that the man is the boss and the woman is the slave. The master and slave. Yes, he is in charge and he can abuse his authority. He has God-given authority and he can abuse his authority, and some men do. Okay? Well, that doesn't make it right, but he still is in authority over the woman. But he's not following Christ's teaching and Christ's example when he's doing that. God created man to be the authority, but not the dictator in their homes. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Never greater patience than Christ toward his church. Never greater sacrifice than Christ toward his church. Just the awesome love. And that's how we, men, who are in authority over our wives, are supposed to love our wives. Let me say this. If my wife does not submit to me, I thank God she does. He's a gem. But if perchance my wife does not submit to me, let me turn it into a question. Does that give me liberty to not love her as Christ loved the church?
No.
She's not submitting to me. So I don't have to love her either.
Wrong.
Thank you. Let's flip it. Let's say I, her husband, am not loving to her. I'm a selfish beast. And now she's supposed to submit to me as a church unto Christ. So if I'm not doing my part, I'm not loving her. I'm selfish and just driving her, belittling her, whatever. Is she now exempt from her responsibility to submit to me and to reverence me, to respect me? Thank you. The answer is no. Now that might cause some questions in your minds. I'm willing to talk about that further. By the way, if you have any questions, jot them down somewhere on the back of one of these papers. We're going to have a question and answer session on the final session. I told you not to look ahead on your notes, but the last session, Lord willing, tomorrow afternoon is a question and answer session. So if you have some questions and they're not answered in our sharing times here, please feel free to ask them. I don't know. Will we have a question box? How are we going to do that? Pardon?
We can pull them
up. It might be good. It might be good to have a question box. Yeah. Okay, so God created man to be the authority, but not the dictator in the homes. Spiritual authority comes by being under authority. And you know the story in Matthew chapter 8. This is a centurion. He was a Gentile. And rather than go to Jesus himself, he didn't feel like he was worthy. He sends his servants. Okay, verse 7 says, Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him, your servant. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed from the distance. This man had more faith than most Jews, by the way. And Jesus marveled. And listen why he gave, listen why he knew Jesus had that authority. Verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. This man said, I'm also a man under authority. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Go, come, and they do it. Why? Because I'm also under authority. He was a centurion in the Roman army. So he had 100 soldiers under him. But there was somebody also over him. And as long as he was submitted, obeyed the one that was over him, he had authority over the Roman soldiers who were under him. That's a principle of authority that works in the Roman army. It also works in the United States. It also works in your government. As long as you're submitted to those who are over you, you have authority. If you're out from under authority, you've lost your authority. Or it'll be taken away from you. And the same thing is true in our homes. Spiritual authority comes by being under authority. So a good question to ask myself, yourself, is, am I under authority? The authorities that God has put over me, am I knowingly disregarding them, rebelling against what I know they want me to do? If you want spiritual authority, be under authority. Humility is the key to true greatness. I'm not going to go into all of these. James 4:6 says, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. All of those verses speak of humility, breaking our hearts before God. Point B there, right at the bottom of the page, is lead by example and not by empty commandments. 1 Corinthians 11:1. There Paul says, basically, follow me as I follow Christ. And this is an important principle. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we are to lead by our example And not just by commanding. That's one of the beautiful things about Jesus Christ. He does not ask us to do things that he himself did not do. He led the way. If he asks us to deny ourselves, believe you me, he denied himself more than you're going to deny yourself. He led the way. He showed us how. So I have written here, disciple your wife and especially your children. And of course, you wives also, disciple your children, you mothers. And this involves personal disciplines, food. How am I with food? What about sleep? What about use of free time, prayer, Bible reading? Consistency is so important. We tell our children, do this, don't do this, but what do they see in me? I remember different times. I'm sure you all have had this experience where one of my children would do something naughty and I'd take him to the bedroom and I'd be in the process of talking to them, showing them what they did wrong, you know, getting ready for the spanking, and the Holy Spirit's talking to me, Ross, you're doing the very same thing to me. Wow. So let's be godly examples to our children, to our wives. I have a note here at the bottom. Feed them spiritually. Dads, this is your responsibility. It shouldn't be the wife's responsibility to have family devotion with the children after you disappear to work. This should be us dads instructing our children. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's on us dads. So we take seriously the responsibility to feed our children physically, don't we? We'd feel like we are really not doing our job if our children were going hungry. That's true. What about spiritually? Develop their spiritual muscles and convictions. Continually point them to Christ. I need to keep rolling along here. And again, you might be saying, well, what does this have to do with husband and wife relationship? Where we dads take our responsibilities and the wife comes along as our happy helper, there is a rest in the home. There's a rest with the children and there's a rest in the wife's heart. It's working the way it should work in God's plan. So number two here, subpoint two, direct, have clear lines. Require prompt obedience, kindness, zero or no backtalk or rebellion, zero lies. Just giving clear direction in your home. And again, one of the greatest challenges is consistency. I don't know how you found it in your homes. It's easy to make rules. The difficult part is to be consistent because we get tired and, you know. But be as consistent as you can be with God's help. Number three, be faithful. Keep your promises. Be true. Be honest. Don't be a hypocrite. This is essential to establish trust in your leadership and authority. By the way, your children will figure out before very long whether you're a hypocrite or not. I knew a family, Mennonite bishop, and as his children got older, one by one, his daughters joined the church, and one by one, his sons went, phew, out to the world. And we're looking at this and saying, what's with Bishop so-and-so's family? Well, I guess the boys just, you know, they're rebellious or, yeah. Came to find out some years later, Dad was smoking out behind the barn on the sneak. For years. It was a test of membership in the church. No smoking. And here Dad's out behind a barn. You think the boys didn't know? God help us. Be unselfish as Christ toward his bride, the church. And I don't know what this is going to mean in your life. I'm talking most of all to us dads here. This applies to all of us, dads and moms, but be unselfish. You know, maybe hunting is so therapeutic for me because I have this high-stress job and I just need some time to, you know, 2 weeks out of the year, I just go with the guys and go hunting out in the mountains. Well, that's wonderful. But what about my wife, who now has, you know, four little ones, and yeah, am I willing to give up my hunting for my family? I'm not trying to tell you that hunting is sin and you shouldn't do it. I don't know how the Holy Spirit will lead you, but let's be unselfish in our example. Lead in consultation with your God-given helper, Abraham and Sarah. There was a time in Abraham's life where Sarah said, "Abraham, this is what I think you should do." And he did it. And boy, did he get into trouble. We're still having a mess in our hands in the Middle East because of it.
Right.
He went and slept with the Egyptian handmaid and bore an Ishmael. Okay. There was another time when Sarah gave Abraham direction. Abraham did not want to do it, not in the least. And God said, "Abraham, you know what your wife told you? Do it." Wow. So, men, we're the leaders. We're the head. But consult with your wife. But you're not her puppet. And you're not her dictator. But hear her out. And in the end, hear from the Lord. And do it. Protect your family. And I wrote beside this, take this seriously. Let me just read through it. You are responsible to protect your wife and children spiritually, emotionally, physically. I hope none of you have an AR-15 at your house to protect your wife and children. You know what an AR-15 is? Okay. There's assaults being made on our homes every day that are far more lethal than bullets. Far more lethal than bullets. This is primarily dad's responsibility, though mom needs to help. The greatest dangers facing homes today are worldly influences from TV, videos, smartphones, social media, friends, and outside the home activities. Know where your children are and who they are with. Make home a fun place to be. Amen. Educational books, good storybooks of Christian heroes, profitable games. As much as possible, do things together as a family. In the evenings, read an exciting book to your family. Watch an educational video and discuss it. I'm not much for videos, but there are a few educational videos that are worth watching. Okay? Play a game together. Make a snack and have a weekly family evening. Make it fun for your children to be home so that they're not always wanting to go out and be with the gang. All right, I want my wife to talk to you ladies on this last point. God bless you, Princess.
Good afternoon, sisters. I wish the men would hide right now. Sometimes it's looked on as an unpopular subject to submit to our husbands, but it's God tells us to do it, and it's a very good thing. And basically, we need to make a choice if we're going to trust God. Because God tells us to submit to our husband. And if we think about that, everything in God's word is for our good. God really loves us, ladies. He really cares about us. And that's why he put the men in charge of us, our husband in charge of us. And it's exciting to be, and it's the happiest place to be, in that place of submission to our husband, because God knows what is best for us. And I remember a time when I was struggling with submission, and God really drove this home to me that, no, my husband doesn't have to be perfect. The decision he's making doesn't have to be the right decision. God says, submit. That's my job. That's my responsibility to submit. And that's where peace is. That's where joy is. And so it takes faith to trust God's leading through my husband. But are we willing to trust God? So that's the foundational principle here. Am I willing to trust God, that he knows what is best for me? And we get tested sometimes on this. Ross talked about the home, in the home, teaching children, training children. Sometimes there's a very serious test that comes along with maybe we have a different idea how the children should be trained than our husband. It happens sometimes, but it's safe to trust our husband. It's safe to submit to him. And God is watching over us, as in the case of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was in a very dangerous situation, and God watched over her. And it's not like we're trusting God to work through our husband. And even if our husband makes a mistake or makes a wrong choice, God is still there for us. We can trust God. I went through a time of depression after the twins, our twins, and it happened to be the year before we went to Ghana. And I was weak emotionally. And Satan really took advantage of that and was just trying to feed me lies. And as women, we tend to go by our feelings. We are more vulnerable sometimes to Satan's lies. And our husband, he faces life and thinks of things more factually. And so I don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't for my husband, because he really helped to root me and ground me in God's word and bring truth out to counter those lies that Satan was trying to feed me. And there were times when I just simply rested on his faith because I felt like I hardly had faith left. So I'm just giving that because Satan is no different today than he was back in the Garden of Eden when he tempted Eve. He is the same Satan. He is the same liar. And he really is trying to feed women lies these days. And we really need our husbands, with their factual way of thinking, to help to keep us stayed on God's word. The opposite of submitting would be a woman having a controlling spirit. That would kind of be the opposite of submission, a woman trying to control. And I just want to share a few. These are only some of the symptoms of a controlling woman. And I'm just going to list a couple of them. She wants to have the last say. She nags till she gets her way. She belittles her husband. She points out his faults and failures. So I just want to encourage us, if we see this in our lives, we should repent of it. Mm-hmm. Not think, well, I'll try to do a little better. I have a little problem here. I should try to do a little better. No, we should repent of it, mm-hmm. and then we'll have the power of God to help us overcome this problem, if we have this problem. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that if we struggle, and I know that when we get married, we leave our father's house and our father's authority, and we have a husband. And if you think about it, when we get married, our father, by the time we marry, our father has matured. He's experienced a lot of things in life. He's learning how to hear from God. And then we marry this young man that's maybe more immature than our father, and he's still learning to hear from God and all these things. And it can be a temptation to, or a struggle to submit, because maybe we think his decisions are immature and so on. But that doesn't change God's word, and God will watch over us. I think sometimes maybe we struggle. If we struggle, it's because we're not praying enough. Hmm. Praying for a husband, praying for the decisions he needs to make. So let's just think about that. If we find ourselves struggling sometimes, we're nervous about the decisions our husband's going to make. Let's think, are we praying enough? Are we praying that God will give him direction? And I think that will help to take the struggle out of our hearts, and we'll be able to have peace and quiet ourselves before God. So, yeah, I think that's what I had. Oh, the second point is Okay, that's submitting to my husband is my response in accepting God's perfect order. And then B is, it is important to model submission and respect to our husbands before our children. You know, I think we all probably know by now that our children catch more than what we teach them. Like, we can teach them something, but if they see us doing something else, they're going to follow more what we do than what we teach. And so I think that's very important that we submit to our husband, because if we're trying to teach our children to submit to us and we're not submitting to our husbands, we may as well save our words, because they're going to watch what we do, not just what we say. So may God help us, ladies, sisters, to make it easy for our husbands. Our husbands have a huge responsibility in watching over us and the family. And if we submit, it makes their job a lot easier. And when we submit, we are blessed. We're the ones that get the blessing.
That's right.
Because God will always bless us as we obey him.
That's right.
God bless you, sisters.
Thank you, darling. Just want to tell a little bit of a story here, give an example in closing. Another Mennonite bishop I knew was actually a bishop in one of the churches I grew up in. One of the boys, maybe several of them, but at least one of them turned out to be a homosexual. One of them joined a pagan's motorcycle gang and was arrested and put into prison for murdering somebody. Prison for life. He died in there. Another one of them was involved in bestiality, having sex with animals. And for years I wondered, what was going on? What was going on? Is it just spiritual warfare? What is going on? And I came to find out some years later that the bishop's wife was very much out of place. You didn't know it when you were at church. You know, everything looked nice and kosher. But she would, even sometimes on the way to church, tear into him and belittle him up and down. I don't know what else was going on in that home. That's the little bit I know. So much potential we have as dads and moms to build and to destroy generations that come after us. Oh. May God help us. That's right. That's the right response. May God help us to be where God wants us in authority. I have some questions here at the end of this. And I would strongly recommend that you couples, when it's time for, you know, quiet time, to get alone, just you and your husband, you and your wife, and look over these questions prayerfully and let God work in our hearts. Let's close with prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that you'll help each of us dads, each of us men in this room, to be the humble, loving, patient, authority, leader, head that you want us to be for our wife and children. Lord, help our dear wives to submit to us, trusting your leading in their lives through us, Lord. Would you grant them that faith, Lord? It takes a lot of faith sometimes, Lord. We men make mistakes. I just pray you'll give them grace, Lord, to trust your leading in their lives through us, to submit to us, and to respect us, Lord. Lord, we want the glory of Jesus Christ, your Son, to shine out from our homes and our relationships. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.